brought to you by Penguin.
Medieval Horizons, written and read by me, Ian Mortimer. Introduction. Anyone looking for a literary image to sum up the Middle Ages would find it hard to beat Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, written in the 1390s. The poet describes a motley group of characters making a pilgrimage from the Tabard Inn in Southwark to Canterbury, each one telling an entertaining story along the way. Among them is a knight who has fought in crusades in North Africa, Spain, and Eastern Europe. He is accompanied by his son, a squire, adept at jousting, and a longbow-carrying servant. Also travelling in the same company are a prioress, a nun, a friar, a monk, five other priests, a merchant, a scholar from Oxford University, a sergeant at law, a ship's captain, a doctor of physic, a five times married businesswoman from Bath, a reeve, a miller, a seller of pardons, a summoner who instructed people to appear in court, a manciple or provisioner for one of the inns of court in London, three farmers, a cook, an innkeeper, five other tradesmen, and Chaucer himself. We travel with them as they ride along to the shrine of St. Thomas Becket, chatting, bickering, and making each other laugh. An epitome of medieval England. We tend to forget, however, just how fleeting Chaucer's world was. We often talk about the Middle Ages as if the whole period was relatively unchanging, with a fixed set of characteristics. Within 200 years, however, life had profoundly changed. Many of Chaucer's characters were antiquated. The medieval knight was an anachronism. So too was jousting. Longbows had been replaced by guns. No one went on pilgrimage in England anymore. There were no prioresses or nuns here, nor were there any monks, friars, or pardoners. Priests were no longer Roman Catholic. For Elizabethans, Chaucer would have provided a rare insight into a long-forgotten world, much as Jane Austen does for us today. Chaucer's medieval cavalcade is equally unrepresentative of Norman England. This becomes clear when we contrast the Canterbury Tales with the entries in Domesday Book, the famous survey of all the property in the country, compiled in 1086. There were far fewer monks and nuns in the 11th century compared with Chaucer's time. There were fewer merchants and ship's captains too. There were no friars at all, nor were there any pardoners, summoners, or doctors of physic. There were no Oxford scholars because Oxford University did not exist. Neither did the Inns of Court. Nor were there any crusades or tournaments. There were no longbows. Not many people went on pilgrimage, and the few who did were serious souls who set a higher priority on seeing Jerusalem or Rome than Canterbury. Most people were agricultural workers, ploughmen, herdsmen, swineherds, dairymaids, and beekeepers, and most of them were not at liberty to leave the place where they grew up. They wouldn't have been allowed to join Chaucer on his pilgrimage. This should leave us wondering what we really mean when we use the term medieval. What exactly are we referring to when that word relates to such different societies? As the comparisons just mentioned indicate, there were many Middle Ages, not just one. To describe them all in the same way is like describing 17th century and 21st century Europe as equally modern, even though we would hardly describe the execution of witches in the 17th century as a modern practice. Quite the opposite. Such a concatenation of time periods would obviously be misleading. Why does this matter, you may ask? First, it matters historically. The use of the word medieval to describe half a millennium conceals how much daily life changed over that time. But more importantly, it suggests that everything we put in the box.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?